You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, I'm Big J. Okerson.
And I'm Dan Soder.
And you're listening to the Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to The Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
Hey guys, it's Black Lou, and welcome to The Bonfire's Best of the Week. Our dear Dan Soder returned from Miami on Monday and gave everyone a first-hand account of what it's like to watch your favorite team lose the Super Bowl.
Going down to the Super Bowl,
I was flight down.
Gassed up.
Amped, dude.
Got a ticket.
It didn't matter if you had a middle seat. You'd have been looking at everybody on either side of you like, eh? Yeah. Super Bowl? You guys too?
Dude, that's it. Every time I was desperately trying to make eye contact with people with Niners stuff on in the airport when you got there, like, huh? You know, they look and you're like, right? Huh? Us? I'm just explaining things as they happen or as I process them going to Super Bowl. Here's something you don't realize. Number one, they keep the fans separated. There's like a 49ers fan section, like family and friends and fans, and then there's a Chiefs. So you could go to the sides. When I walked in, I was like, this is probably to stop fights.
Yeah.
You know, because I think something I noticed at the Super Bowl was...
It's under a microscope, so the thing is, they can't have it, you can't have it being like, it's such a barbaric sport, look at this kind of crazy shit going down.
Well, also, there's so much fucking money at the Super Bowl, dude. There's so much money. The only people that are at this game are people that are diehard fans, right?
Yeah.
So they fucking put their... They got a second mortgage on their house.
J-Lo's extended family.
J-Lo's extended family that might stop by the game in the third if they're in the neighborhood. But it's just like diehard fans that are like balls of nerves that are just super excited for this game. Their team's in the championship. And then there's like people that got it from like a corporate sponsor.
Yeah.
So it's like half people that give a real big shit and half people that couldn't care less. Our tickets were in the Chiefs section, so we were surrounded on all sides. You could feel the fans in the stadium were like, let's fucking play the game. And then like the corporate people were like, oh my God, that's great. Look over there, honey. I think that's the guy from, I think it is One Life to Live. It was like, look at this. People are like, I don't know. Chiefs fans are great. They're a great fan base. I think they got ripped off when Seattle got the loudest stadium. I think Kansas City had it. Seahawks, I just like to talk shit to Seahawks fans because they're like, we're the loudest! But
Kansas, well, I can't hate the Chiefs because of Andy Reid.
Andy Reid, I know. I was happy Andy Reid got it, and it sucks that the fucking Niners lost it, but man, listen, it's incredible to go to a Super Bowl. It's even better when it's...
I love the disclaimer.
This is such a disclaimer.
Because by the way, other people have already said it to you at one point. I think I even texted to you that thing before you even talked to me. You got to do that like, hey dude, you got to go to a Super Bowl.
Listen, I got to go to a Super Bowl. My middle school best friend was a coach for my favorite team on the biggest platform. It's fucking insane that we're here. Mm-hmm. That being said, as a football fan, that fucking sucked.
Yeah, dude.
That fucking sucked. It sucked to sit there.
How many minutes of super loving it did you get at the Super Bowl, though?
I was nervous the whole time.
So you didn't enjoy, you didn't enjoy being up 10?
No, man. Both picks. I went nuts. I went nuts for the picks. But I was still like, we got to score. Got to score a touchdown. It's Patrick Mahomes. He just fucking, you saw him in the Titans game. You saw him. The guy just scores points so fast that I was like, fuck. I was nervous, and I was around Chiefs fans. So when the momentum would turn, they'd be like, oh, you're like, shut the fuck up. Chiefs fans are great. They literally are like, they're into the game. But there were two motherfuckers that I just hated. One was like, you can't cast this kid for hateable white kid.
Were they wearing red face? Were they going too far with the Chiefs thing?
They were snickering.
They put on big noses.
Let me say this.
And they never moved. They just held. They just held spears and stood there the whole time.
Yeah, with just a chest plate of bamboo over there.
I don't like these guys one bit. He goes,
you guys wearing a thong.
Me no like you either.
Well, 49ers take the gold from the ground that the great spirit has left for us to admire the rocks. And bearded men from the east rip open her flesh and take the gold. You're from fucking...
He goes,
you're from Manhattan, Kansas. Like, yeah, I know. I'm.
These tickets were way overpriced.
Yeah.
I'm really taking it in the ass on this one.
The squaw is really raking me over the coals for how much I've spent on this.
StubHub, do you want to fuck my wife while you're at it?
Wow. First you take our land, now you just take my pride. So when they do the national anthem, the Niners took a lot of shit for Kaepernick and like Eric Reid taking a knee. You know, that was like a big, the 49ers were at the center of that controversy. So you heard a lot of shit talking about the Niners. We joked around about it on the show that I thought it was funny when we went to the Eagles game that people were yelling,
"Stand the fuck up! Stand the fuck up!"
And you're like, dude, don't you think that's more disrespectful than taking a silent knee? So that being said, during the Super Bowl, I didn't know the Chiefs fans do this. When they do the Star Spangled Banner at the end, when they go and the home of the, instead of free, the whole fans just go Chiefs. So it's like, and the home of the Chiefs, and they yell that. And you're like, that's double disrespectful.
That's super disrespectful.
Number one, you call yourself the Chiefs. You're singing a song of the we took their land.
Who sang the national anthem?
Demi Lovato.
That's such a what a fucking rude thing to do to her.
But they all go Chiefs, and it's probably a thing that they've done for years or whatever. But you're also like, yeah, I don't know, guys. That just seems kind of fucking. How did we take so much shit for taking fucking
that's
knees?
Worse. That's worse than just taking a stand and being like, we're not doing the national anthem before a game anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an antiquated thing anyway. So it's like,
yeah, it's crazy.
I couldn't care if they
it was
did
all
it or
just
not.
It, yeah. That's a good thing.
But
for,
isn't that funny? But it is no. But
it's crazy.
But
watch, we're like, what the fuck?
If they're, I'm all for taking it away completely
from
the
it?
Game.
The shitty part about being surrounded by Chiefs fans is that when you celebrate, you feel kind of like a dick no matter what.
Yeah.
And I wasn't being a dick. I was just cheering. You just feel like a dick because I'm in the Chiefs section. It's just, I had me and two big brawny fellas behind me that were Niners fans.
Thank
that
God.
Was fucking key because I felt like someone had my six.
Yeah.
So I was, and
the
like,
scariest position.
Dude, and Fred Warner gets that interception, that first interception, and I was like, because Patrick Mahomes has never thrown an interception in the playoffs.
Really?
I think he was like 11-0, like 11 touchdowns, zero picks.
Wow.
So he threw that, and I was like, fuck it, let's go! Let's fucking go! And then it just kept getting realer and realer. Like, the Kittle call, I got super mad at the end of the half when he got called pass interference for pushing off.
Yeah.
And then they showed it, and you're like, ah, that was kind of a no call. You could call it if you're a dick.
Was it raining booze?
No, I was alone.
Booing.
It was me and those two guys. Were
That's
just
funny.
Like,
when in a whole second, you hear you going, bad call.
Yeah.
Bad call.
But again, there's people around you that are corporate, so they don't give a fuck. So there were, after that bad call, a lot of the corporate people were like, that was a bad call. That was pretty shitty. And you're like, fuck you, I don't care. Halftime show, we'll talk about it. You watched it. I was there. I jerked off live to it.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick.
You know, it's cool. I learned how
to come with those timed lights on our wrists. I was like,
no news thing of any value I saw. I thought I was actually going to get a lot of shit for being so like stripper pole and.
Oh, I was
mean, Shakira. I mean, I'm pretty
we
sure
joking
you,
around.
You definitely saw a moose knuckle. I think you saw a loose lip.
We were joking around that Beyonce was there. So she was just like watching him, like, that's what you guys get. So the game comes back. 49ers score a field goal, yada, yada, yada. We get up 20-10. Bosa's up in Mahomes' face. And then I start getting texts from people that's like, oh, dude, fucking Super Bowl. Like, three or four different people were like, fucking A, dude. Looks like you guys are on your way to a Super Bowl. And every person, I was like, don't fucking say that. Don't fucking say that. And then the comeback happens, and I'm surrounded by Chiefs fans. And I'm alone, and everyone's
and by
like,
the way, it was so like,
fuck, it sucked.
On their end, it was so storybook that they're not just getting excited like, like they're waiting for the game to end because they have the lead. It's you watch a team come back from what seemed like at a point insurmountable odds.
Not insurmountable. They're down
seven
by
minutes?
10. 7 minutes with 10 points with Patrick Mahomes isn't a lot. Let's stop making it all storybook. He did it to every team he's played pretty easily.
I'm saying I saw before he went on the thing. He winked at the heavens.
And said, let me do this one for my dad.
And I think.
Yeah?
The heavens winked back.
God went, you know what, Patrick Mahomes?
I saw a giant thumb come out of the sky.
Just out of a cloud?
Yeah.
And I went, did you guys see that? And I went, what?
Like, see what? Demi Lovato?
Yeah, that was hey, her. Patrick Mahomes. This one's for you. Go get him, Patrick. Go bury that ball in those gay-ass 49ers. And then that pick when Jimmy G threw the final pick, you know, when it was 31-20, I was like, let's just get out of here.
Yeah, wind out of the sails in Sal's house, too, honestly. Like,
yeah.
That was it actually cleared out super quick after the game was over.
So the stadium
clears out.
Everyone's
pulling for you.
Yeah, the stadium cleared out. I don't know. We left early. We got out of there, but we had So I got
your chick didn't have to stay or anything.
I got a ticket. I got a ticket from, you know, I got a pass from the family from McDaniel.
Yeah.
To go to the after party. So you're wearing this bracelet.
Oh, that's so funny.
And here's the thing, they have an after party, no matter what. Like
yeah, it's paid for.
It's paid for. And it's at American Airlines Arena.
Dude, it was like there's a documentary, a guy who has to DJ.
Dude, hold on.
Losing parties.
Hold on, because that is a whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
That is a whole fucking thing.
You teased it to me a little bit.
I teased it to you a little bit. Here's the deal. Without McDaniel on the team, I'm not at that Super Bowl. I'm at Sal's watching it with you guys, or I'm at home watching it by myself because, getting down there, I don't want to be around that. The Super Bowl energy is like if you
it's
like
a Fat Joe concert.
Dude, it's fucking insane, all the shit that they have. I went back to my hotel and rolled up the window to smoke a joint out of it, and just Noriega was performing somewhere close, just like, what? Like,
yeah, also, Miami, such a vibe, like football and like flamingos.
But that's the thing, you're seeing all these people like around in like sexy outfits and then just dudes in
some
hats
tank tops
and like a George Kittle jersey, just like, excited for Sunday? Yeah, buddy. So you lose the game and then you go and talk to my friend Chad and McDaniel's wife, and they're like, hey, get on this bus. They're going to take you to American Airlines Arena. You can see Mike. That's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to see McDaniel and be like, yo, dude, fucking great season. I'm proud of you. God bless. I'll see you in a couple weeks when I'm at Punchline in San Francisco. So you get on this bus.
He was like, I just want to go see Mike and say, that sucked.
Yeah.
Peace.
No, dude, my friend, my buddy had one where
jump ship.
Like, dude, I talked to him. We had a good conversation. And then our buddy, who was kind of half in the bag because he'd been drinking, just walks up and he goes, man, you guys had it. And you're like, I don't think you wanted to hear that. He was trying to be supportive, but he was like, you guys got so close. You're like, fuck, dude. That's hurting me. That's sticking me in my ribs.
If the whole team, yourself included, we're just giving a little bit more.
I mean, where was the effort? Dude, some of the texts I was getting from people, you're like, are you trying? Do you want me to fist fight you the next time I see you? One of the people I know was like, man, that was an insurmountable lead and you guys gave it up. One of my buddies from fucking Denver.
Well, clearly it was surmountable.
Yeah. One of my buddies from Denver was just like, man, now I got, as a Broncos fan, I got to hear about this now. And I was like, what? Oh, he goes, 21 points in 7 minutes? I'm as a Broncos fan, I'm going to have to hear about this all offseason. I go, what? I go, my team just lost the Super Bowl. What the fuck are you? Fuck the dumb donkeys.
What are you talking about?
I don't give a fuck about the Broncos. What are you talking about? I have a buddy who's like a diehard Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
And we were texting and it got a little chippy. I started getting chippy by the end because I was fucking mad. Dude, you get on a bus to go to American Airlines Arena and it's just quiet and sad.
Yeah,
it's like a funeral, dude.
You know,
like,
your mom. You know your mom had sex with Kyle when we were younger.
Yeah. Why?
That, dude?
How would you put that in my head?
He goes, I'm just saying. They agreed to never say anything. But yeah. I'm telling you,
I'll say it right now. Your dad.
Your mom fucked your friend, dude.
Your dad has another son.
What?
I met him.
It's and way
he's great. I met him, and he's fantastic.
He kipped up to meet me. He's laying on the ground. He sleeps on the floor. It's good for your back.
He's in karate tournament this weekend, or I'd bring him to meet you.
I mean, I swear to God, you'd love this guy. Hilarious. You walk in and it's like all 49er stuff. It's all LED like lights and shit. It's all red and gold because it's designed for them to win the fucking Super Bowl.
It was your birthday party.
Did you walk in and on a giant stage there's just a DJ trying to pump everyone up when they just lost the Super Bowl? I don't think there's a harder job out there. This guy was like, all right, listen, we're all here to celebrate, even though it didn't turn out the way we wanted. We had a good season. Let's hear it from them San Francisco 49ers. And then it's just silent. It's just everyone's like, and he's like, all right, we got special guests coming up. And dude, they had the fucking Jabberwockies come out and dance.
Dude, that would have brought me right out of a funk of losing the Super Bowl. Well, dude, Jabberwockies didn't get you?
Jabberwockies, then Shaggy. And then Lil Wayne.
Performed?
Yeah.
What song did he do?
I don't know. I was gone. I wanted to leave. I left after a half hour.
But you knew Lil Wayne was going to go on?
Yeah, they were like, Lil Wayne's supposed to be on any moment. And I was like, oh, cool. And then I was just fucking bummed out, dude.
Man, that's bummed. You don't even stay. I mean, you went all the way out there.
Yeah, I don't care. I like Lil Wayne a lot. But
you watched the other two people?
No.
You watched Shaggy?
No, we left halfway through Jabberwockies.
What?
Yeah, I didn't care.
Dude, they...
I talked to McDaniel.
Did they make their heartbeats?
They did. It was pretty cool.
Hey, it's Black Lou again. Chloe Hilliard was our guest this week and described in detail what really happens after hours at the barbershop. I got to tell you, she was 100% right.
You know how much I heard the word unisex in my life when I was younger? Of your parents trying to get you to wear something that's clearly a woman.
My mom would always go like, it's they're not for women, socks. It's unisex.
Yeah, it's unisex. It goes, there's pom-poms on the back of the socks, Mom.
Goes, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're unisex. Mm-hmm. I think it was like an underwear laundry day, and my mom trying to get me to wear her unisex underwear. I think I freeballed it.
Good job.
I definitely remember the pom-pom socks. That was definitely a thing.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't unisex.
Yeah, no.
That was, what's funny is that's, I remember like sweatshirts, like crew net sweatshirts. I'd be like, no, it's your sweatshirt. That's a girl sweatshirt. She's like, it's a unisex. And you'd be like, all right.
And then the only time you'd ever see that thing is when you go to a barbershop and it says unisex barbershop. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, do not come in here if you're a woman. It's not.
Dude, you have to be some fucking...
Don't go to a fucking barbershop if you're... By the way, I'm not even talking about like black barbershop. I'm talking about like Boris fucking Russian Jewish
barbershops. Oh, they messing your hair up.
Yeah, do not go there as a woman. Unisex? How dare you put that out there?
That should be a punishment for a woman. You, know, you have to go get a haircut, a unisex haircut.
Tell them exactly what you want, dude, and then look at the puzzlement on this guy's face.
And you won't get it. I used to work in a barbershop. Actually, I've learned a lot about men working in a barbershop.
Yeah? What did you do at the barbershop?
So I started as a receptionist, and then I became a braider because my cousin was like, he was a manager. He was like, do you know how to braid? I was like, yeah, I can braid. And that's when everybody wanted their hair braided. And so
is that when do men talk shit like we're getting their hair braided the way women do when they're getting their nails done?
I don't
done?
Think you learn about men. It was like, I learned that men will fist fight over a video game. I've learned like all the things that happen in a barbershop.
You learn that Dr. J is not as good as he
you realize. You actually realize how crazy women are by being in a barbershop, because the women who would come and pop up on their guy or call incessantly, like, where you at? What you doing? What? And you just see them like coming and cruising. And then just pop in and make sure he's really there.
Really?
Yeah.
I see a lot of that on Life After Lockup, my favorite TV show.
Yeah.
A lot of checking in on a guy. And I'll tell you, when they check in, like they're usually banging some other girl also.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. They will all, and the barbers cheat the most. Like, there's three things. If I meet a guy and he says he's a barber, basketball coach, a personal trainer, don't date him. He's a whore.
Yeah.
Those
personal
three?
Trainers.
Those
I think
three.
I think personal trainers.
Sometimes
both.
Sometimes they're all three at the same time. Yeah.
Now, do you think
also I got a new shoe line coming out? You're like, this fucking guy.
Do you think there's a specific reason for each? Like, my guess on barber would be working in a barber shop with barbers also that you like and trust. Probably your barber works there.
Yeah.
You're constantly looking fresh, always lined up, and that's why I wonder if it's why they get pussy so much.
No,
they never have bad days.
Single moms bringing their sons in to get a haircut.
Oh.
And they shack up with the single moms.
Oh, while they're cutting?
Yeah, and so this is the thing. They tell them like, oh, you should bring them in every 2 weeks to get his haircut. You know, got to keep them fresh. And then all they say, this is the big one. They always say, you should let me do your eyebrows. And they would cut the woman's eyebrows, and then she'd be sucking his dick in like 2 weeks.
Damn,
that's crazy.
I ask all the questions, the leading questions to you guys. He goes, woo. He goes, hey, little man. He goes, you got some nice hair. He goes, where do you get your hair from? You think more, your mom or your daddy?
Yeah.
He goes, my dad, I guess. He goes, where he at?
Yeah. why didn't he bring you in?
Why didn't he bring you in?
Yep.
Just really? And then they're just fucking
what kind of music
looking...
your mama listen
yeah.
to?
Yeah.
And the barbershop after hours. Like, just pull the gate down and just be in there just smashing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did
fucking...
you ever see Summer of Sam, dude?
Oh, yeah. There is...
John Leguizamo getting all that ass inside the salon. That's a salon, yeah. though.
A salon's got to be a whole different ballgame.
It's a little different. No, it's a little different.
I'd say there's probably not tons of fucking after hours in a salon.
No.
It's one lady who has a position she's not afraid to lose there.
Yeah.
And who's doing it.
And it's I mean? And it's extramarital.
Yeah, yeah, the co-owners, those two young ladies who co-own that Evita salon that I've made up in my head.
Friends that will eventually be enemies?
They've both fucked there for sure, but nobody else. Everyone else is afraid because those two crack the whip when it gets angry.
And they probably watch the surveillance taped and slut shame you.
Chloe, what's the craziest story from there? I mean, did you catch them in the act?
From the barbershop? I mean...
Jake has been thinking about getting into barbershop.
Yeah, he goes, wait, so you're saying...
They would just tell me. I knew it was nothing. Like, after a certain point of me working here, it was like I was one of the guys. Like, they considered me like a little sister, so they would tell me what they were about to do. Like, oh, don't come here tonight because you're about to, like, have a party. And I'd be like, okay, good to know.
What's the craziest, like, has a woman ever barged in there, like, angry?
Yeah, like
Ronald... These are not my panties, like shit like that.
Yeah, definitely. One guy was there, and his car was parked, and the girl came in, busted all his windows out.
Oh shit! While he was getting his haircut. Has anyone
left? Try to act like it was. That's the best one. When crazy's this happens on the show, cheaters all the time.
Yeah.
When crazy's happening behind him, and they're like, that's just. He goes, finish what you were saying. So you're from this neighborhood. We were having a date. We're good.
Your car's on fire.
Yeah. She goes, I don't know if we should. I feel weird telling you this story. Like, she's definitely she's she pouring gasoline in your car. He goes, "It's not. That's,
don't worry.
She's old news to me.
It's a rental."
What's? Tell me more about you. Do you have a car here? I hope.
Did anyone ever leave half haircut?
Nothing too crazy. But you. It was even worse when the barbers would get into it. So you had the clients, and they're like, their crazy women would come, but the barbers all had like multiple baby mamas, and so it would be this baby mama's on her way, but another one's already there. So like, Chloe, can you take this one to the store? So
you'd be in sitcom situations.
Yeah.
Where he'd be like, you're just a full Mrs. Doubtfire moment. He goes, listen, I'm dressing up as an old English lady just to see my kids. Now, my wife's going to come in here with her new man. Distract him. I'm going to go put on the costume. Come back out.
Crazy.
I'm always blown, like the, and I think it's like all fathers, myself included, of a daughter. Like, there's definitely a hypocrisy in me in the world. But like, when no one sees it at all, like the just guys like that having like daughters also, and like who mm-hmm. really just like treat chicks like, yeah, this dummy comes and sucks my dick at noon every day for lunch, and then this other girl gives me money for whatever, this my cell phone bill, and like I fuck her a little bit, like, and then they have daughters, and you're like, how do you ensure your daughter doesn't become, like, that is karma like a motherfucker.
Well, they try to shut them down. They try to, like, prevent any conversations of, like, sexuality with their girls. They try to just keep them, like, in this little princess mentality and, like, you don't do this. Don't, like, they shut them down and they just repress them so much that they end up doing it anyway because they don't give them any conversation, any leeway. They don't explain it to you. Like, the best thing my dad said was, like, listen, men could be jerks, but you just need to know how to prepare yourself. And if a guy says this, then prepare to do that. It wasn't never like, don't talk to guys. Because
do you think that's a worst? That's obviously the worst approach, is being like, men, do not talk to men. I'll kill a boy if he's talking to you.
I also think the even worse of the situation is, like, I have a joke about, like, princesses, and I think the worst thing you can do is tell a little girl she's a princess, because you're just setting her up for failure.
Chloe ruined Luke Cage for me, because his Pop's Barbershop is the most righteous place in the show.
Oh, they was getting a dick suck for sure.
Pop's main offender. And by the way, Pop's liked them young.
Yeah. Illegally young.
He liked them illegally young. Pop's?
Not Pop.
Campers, finally, we leave you with a cliffhanger this week. After months of what Big J perceived as the cold shoulder from Karen Hunter in the hallways of SiriusXM, the Urban View host joined the show and discussed where the two stood.
Yesterday, we brought up a topic that we're just going to get right into, which is welcome to the show, our guest, Karen Hunter.
Hi. First of all, this was a topic yesterday?
So, we got to explain the ongoing thing. I've been on your show, had a wonderful time.
You're amazing.
Plan on coming back.
Tall.
I even talked about my show on your show.
You did?
Yeah. I brought it up.
Yep, he talked about it. Yep.
Now, we've walked through the hallways. We always go past each other. Yep. And then one time I was like, this is my co-host, Big J Okerson. Now, in the hallway, we've given off, do you want to, you know?
Yeah, I'll jump
join in. Yeah, join in.
Absolutely. So, this has come up a lot on the show because when I walk out, this is the feeling, the joke I make on the show always.
Yeah.
Is that the black people of SiriusXM love Dan Soder, hate me for some reason.
Oh, no.
Unknown
we just don't
why.
See you. So, because Dan is tall, right? So he casts a shadow.
But he's tall, too.
Dan's literally less than an inch taller than me.
He's much taller than you are. And so.
You want to see that.
I've never seen. And so hey.
We've had plenty of interaction. Yeah.
So,
but,
and you think it's a black thing?
No. I'm saying, the joke of it is obviously because when we come in here also, Bevy. Who is a sweetheart also, couldn't fawn over Dan Moore. I mean, we have evidence of this. Double cheek kisses, and I've been with the same level of like, hey, and it's like, eh.
Well, it could be the weird fingers glove.
That should mean nothing.
It's something about the fingers being exposed. It's weird, and then it could be the frosted hair. I'm not saying that it is.
Fair to say that maybe I think you don't like me because you're wearing like an Erykah Badu camouflage thing?
No, well, this
not today.
I actually got from Africa, that, so it's very black.
But isn't that... But why would this be...
I don't know. So here's the thing. I watch Billions, and then I literally just parked today on 6th Avenue. I looked over, and there's a Dan Soder billboard for some new show he's on, and I was like,
special.
I was like, I see him on that little thing there. Mm-hmm. So it's facial recognition.
Yeah. So you're saying, and also you've never...
This is nonsense.
Because I think what she's saying is there is nothing personal towards
you. Nothing at all. Nothing.
And I think you've been taking it. We have evidence of you thinking it's a personal thing where...
I think it's a weird, unpleasant behavior in the hallway for someone who's been... I've actually been, and this has been witnessed.
Okay.
scoffed at by, as I'm right next to Dan.
So what does the scoffing look like? I just need to, I didn't, the did, one have that, I scoffed at you?
Yes. There okay, is there right. is there is a fully evident one that okay. several people saw.
Okay.
Was me and Dan walking in the hallway and you gave me, you know, Dan, hey, blah, and I was like, hey, and you actually went like, eh. And like just kept walking forward. It's bananas. The behavior is bananas.
You don't know what was going on. You know, I might have had some. But Jay, my question.
You sound like excuses.
You know, I think this is
my question to you is, now that you have met, I bet the hallway interactions completely changed.
I think that's true. See, this is.
I don't want a fictitious change.
It's not a fictitious change. I think that's a real
change. Let me finish explaining my thing, because you never finished the thing. The initial was Dan goes, he goes, this is my co-host show, Jay. And he goes, he's hilarious too. And you went, oh, I don't know him. I know you, which is just a weird thing. Yeah, it's a weird thing. That's a weird intro to people.
It's not weird. I'm just very. I was just saying this today. I think more people need to just express however they feel,
yeah, mm-hmm.
and stop being so damn phony.
Sure. Okay.
And I think we live in a world where there's niceties and all of these pleasantries, but we're like toxic animals every place else.
You're saying so like the passive aggressiveness is
just
through the
being
roof.
The toxic animal that you are in person, and then people can get used to it. It's nothing personal. Somebody described me yesterday that said, you're really tough, but you're nice at the same time. It's a weird combination.
I've always said that. That seems like the thing. I when people say things like when a lot of girls will do that, like, oh, I could be such a bitch. And it's like, well, work on that.
Yeah.
Then work on that.
No,
that's not a good
thing. I'm not working on it because I like me. I like exactly how I am. And so, yeah, I did that. I do remember it, too. I remember it like it was 2 weeks ago, because it was 2 weeks ago.
No, it was months and months and months ago.
Let me apologize, because apparently it stuck with you, because now we're here. Like,
it's I feel almost like, on a
first
daily
of all,
basis.
I'm in this bad club with no music. It's like the lighting is hard. There's a
I'll
disco
tell you this,
ball
Karen,
in here.
Karen
best
does
vibe,
not.
Best vibe in series.
Karen,
radio.
Karen does not.
Like the, Karen does not like the ambiance of
no,
the bonfire.
No, your ambiance is definitely is a mood killer, actually.
Okay.
But
we need a full bar.
But I can see how this could happen. And so, yeah, no, I now, I didn't know you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't familiar with your awesome work, but apparently you're a big J.
Yes.
So I'm going to really do my homework, because that's part of that through.
Yeah.
You know, I think people don't know each other.
So it's funny she's going to do her homework and come back genuinely not liking me.
No. I need to have a good reason, right?
Yeah, you know what? If you watch my work and come back not liking me, I'll submit to that.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to at least do my
you
part.
You know what? That would be great.
I think that's
just
fair.
Monday in the hallway, Karen's like, don't even fucking look at me.
I think that might happen, because I'm going to.
And then her and I have our own high five again.
I appreciate that. I'll hold you to that.
Yeah, no.
Do some research and then come back.
But my point is, as someone that's been in the middle of this, do you see that you thought it was a personal thing? You're like, she just doesn't like me. She just doesn't like
me.
She
just said she's not going to be phony and act like she does like me.
But I'm saying she was saying she doesn't know you. That's why she said that. So I'm saying to you, is there any sort of relief knowing that Karen doesn't just hate you personally? Or not hate you, but just
no,
like.
I think she hated me. There's no reason that she would have had to hate me.
Not hate. I mean, like.
No, I still think it was dismissive behavior, but she's saying it was.
But
and
I treat everybody like that I don't know.
So but that's
like,
not.
I'm consistent. No, but it is. It's probably not the best way to be. But, you know, at a certain point, you grow to be whoever you are.
Yeah.
You know, and generally, I put goodness into the world, into the universe. I inspire people to do good things with their lives, and I have receipts. And, you know, if I'm dismissive in the hallway, I apologize. But, you know, Dan is special. And I think
this is I'm going to pay for this. This
no, go on, leave.
I am Karen. You are setting me up to get buried
but, you know,
by Jay.
But, I mean, he's just like, you know, he's like warm milk and cookies, and mm-hmm. and like his presence in the studio was like family. It was like a homecoming, mm-hmm. and everybody just kind of gravitated towards him. So I'm, mm-hmm. I hope to have that relationship with you. Maybe you can come on the show and we can develop that bond, because we spent a whole hour
maybe
together.
Don't do the research.
Okay. All right. So that that could be that.
Yeah.
But you know, listen. Unlike some things around here, we open our doors to everybody.
But you know what? It's just fun to have you on, because we've had this with other, like a show before us that was like kind of a joke, and we wanted to do this, and that host never let us do this.
No.
And I think this is a great thing to solve, because it is.
No, I think in fact he just went to HR.
Yeah. Oh, that's an option?
Yeah, now we're done.
I can't go to HR.
Karen's like, I gotta go to HR.
I didn't know
right
I could
now.
Go to HR. And
but all now, right. Yeah, so now you'll know if Karen doesn't say hi to you in the hallway, she's
it's
seen.
Because
she
I
solved the research.
She saw your. Yeah, she saw your degenerates on Netflix.
It,
that's fair. And then I'll be like, yeah, she's not into my thing.
Right.
Yeah, I can just
do
move
you
forward,
have a
yeah.
thing? What's your thing?
He's hilarious.
No, you keep saying that.
Yeah.
But so what's your thing, though?
He's a crowd work specialist. I would say, like, watch his crowd work. It's unbelievable. He can talk to people in a room.
I say the things people are thinking but are afraid to say.
Yeah. He speaks truth with power. I would say
did
he's
I
on.
Did I sign that? Let me give me that back.
All right. We have to do the cops block.
Yeah, yeah. With the little smiley face. You can put the sad face.
Or don't know if we have to modulate the voice so we don't get sued. Yeah, I would say Jay like does dirty jokes very well.
Give me an example.
I mean, we you know that
not here.
Why? Yeah, you got to watch.
Series XM. What do you mean not here?
But we're
no,
saying
it's like, not a matter of the content. It's about do a bit on. While everyone's just sitting here in the room, it's odd.
Okay. Doing stand-up out of context is weird. It doesn't usually work.
Okay.
Yeah, right, but watch The Degenerates on Netflix.
Okay.
Season one, and Jay has a half hour you can just stream. That's hilarious.
I will do that, because I'm a Netflix-a-file.
Okay. Yeah, just get in there, watch Big J's Netflix half hour, and then in the hallway, you don't have to... Now you'll know.
I'll know.
Maybe we can be your white dude correspondents.
No, we don't do that. Because here's the thing. Comedy should be colorblind, right? Yeah. And I think the problem we have in this country right now is that everybody's assigning, like, you even thinking it's a black thing. That was kind of, that's weird.
No, it's funny.
No, it isn't. There's too much tension in this country right now to do that.
Well, there's a lot of tension from the black people and me in these hallways, it turns out. And I did not create that.
So I'm going to speak on behalf of all the black people at Sirius, all five of them. And two of them are in the room, so there's three more left. And we don't know you, and I'm speaking as the spokesperson for
black
all black
Lou
people.
Black Lou is my brother from another mother.
Is he?
Yeah.
You like him?
I love him.
Is he funny?
He's hilarious.
What are you going to say?
He's hilarious.
Are you?
It'd be funny if he
I can't stand that.
He wouldn't work, he wouldn't work on the show.
Funny. Okay. Yeah. All right. Dude, you forced to work here? You just give me the sign like Melania. You know, just let me know. Put the little thing on the
The double
the
hand grab.
Yeah, let me know what's going on here. No, but
Black
you know,
Lou, you're not going to get white pussy doing Godfrey show. You got to stay over here at the bonfire.
Is that what you want? Oh, okay. All right. See. All right.
Is that what you want? That was just a great question. Karen just goes, Is that what you want?
I just want to know. I need to know. I'm just trying to figure out who the hell's in the room.
But that's
like
not
a thousand
an issue.
People.
If Black Lou only likes white women, that's not an issue.
It would be a fetish.
Okay.
If you only like anything.
Yeah, like Jewish guys that love Japanese girls.
That's a fetish.
That's a fetish.
You know, I don't know if that's love. That's a fetish.
My love of large breasts.
Well, that's something. That's being a man. I think, right?
Yeah, that's not a fetish.
Normal.
I swear to God, Dan Soder can't say anything wrong.
I like
fuck drowning my women. You're like, you know what? No, that just sounds like fun.
I think that's really sick, and I'm uncomfortable right now.
Well, that's Dan's
right
thing.
No, is it?
Yeah. How do you feel now?
No,
how about
like
your champion now?
Don't take me down just because you're upset, Jay. Don't lash out.
Dan's in the weird shit.
No, I'm not. I'm in the very vanilla. My nickname's Vanilla Dan. You can't turn on me in this moment.
You've never been more happy that you've never said that about yourself before until this moment.
Yes, I have.
That's worked out so wonderfully just right now. Yeah. They call me Vanilla Dan, for Christ's sakes.
I got this son of a bitch. Dead to rights.
Damn it, we do call him Vanilla Dan.
Karen, thank you very much for coming
on. I was like, when is this going to be over?
No, all right,
so damn painful.
No, this
has
been...
And there's like 1,000 people in here to witness it. I think I'm hot flashing, too.
No,
so
you did.
Thank you.
Check out Karen's show, Karen Hunter Show, Urban View Channel 126. Yeah. Jay, now...
Thank you, Karen.
The introduction is complete.
We'll see. Tomorrow.
We'll see.
Are we going to be in the hallway tomorrow?
Monday.
All right, Monday, I'm going to do my homework over the weekend.
Yeah.
And when I see you, if I don't look at you, you'll know.
Okay.
I'm not going to harass you. I'm just not going to look at you.
Okay. That's very fair.
Dan,
Karen, thank you very much.
Anytime you come to home,
thank you very much.
We'll see
I will.
You, see you for Thanksgiving. Love you.
I love it. Thank you. It's just... Hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. East on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on all social media at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.